Years ago, if you wanted real New Mexico green chilies, you had to go to New Mexico and get them yourself. These days, they're standard fare at upscale supermarkets around the country. But they're often not the real deal, with that unique, smoky New Mexico flavor that made them famous. With increasing competition over the years, New Mexico chili farmers focused on quantity and lost their edge. Now, to save the $50 million industry, scientists are going back to the original seeds to bring back the original New Mexico green chili flavor. For more on that, we're joined by Paul Bosland. He's a professor of agriculture and head of the Chili Pepper Institute at New Mexico State University. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So for people who are not familiar with New Mexico green chilies, tell us a little bit about them. What makes them so special?
Well, they're an original from New Mexico. Back in the late 1800s, we had a professor here, Fabian Garcia, who decided to make chilies more of a commercial crop. Up until that time, Hispanics grew them in their backyard gardens, and we had no commercial crop of chilies in New Mexico. And he said, I'm going to make a chili more uniform, milder, and better yielding to get non-Hispanics to eat chili peppers. So he intercrossed three different types of chilies, one called pasilla, one called chili negro, and another one called chili colorado. So it was red, black, and a long green to brown chili. He intercrossed those, began selecting, and in the early 1900s, he came out with a variety called New Mexico Number 9. And this was the first time this pod type, called New Mexican, was ever seen. And he started to grow it in the area, became very popular, and really it became the standard for what we would call Mexican food in the United States. Anyone that knows Mexican cuisine realizes there's very different types of dishes in Mexico. But in the United States at that time, anything that had any spiciness, any heat to it was called Mexican. And so instead of using jalapenos to make salsa or the ancho to make chili relleno or guajillo to make red sauce, we now had one chili pepper that did it all. And so we like to say he was the father of the Mexican food industry in the United States.
And these are really linked into the identity of the state of New Mexico.
Chilies are more than a crop in New Mexico. There are kind of on everything. We have it on clothing. We have it on pottery. We have it on buildings. One of the things we have in New Mexico are called ristras. The green chili will mature to a red color, and you can make a string of chilies and hang them by your door kind of as a welcome mat.
But the New Mexico green chili, at least the one that we know today, has a very distinct flavor. It's not just like a jalapeno or another kind of pepper. It is really smoky and spicy and delicious.
Exactly. There's a unique flavor to the New Mexico green chili. And we've been trying to educate people that chilies, all the different chilies have subtle flavor differences. And here I like to use the analogy with wine. People, when you first drink wine, you notice alcohol. When you first eat a chili pepper, you notice heat. But after a while, a person can tell the difference between red and white wine. And then they can begin to tell the difference between, say, a Merlot or a Zinfandel. And same thing with chili peppers. You can begin to taste these flavor differences. And green chili, New Mexico green chili, has a very unique flavor.
Or at least it did. And that's where we get to the problem, which is that as they became more popular around the country, farmers started to try to figure out how to mass produce them. And you say the focus was too much on doing that and not enough on keeping that flavor.
Exactly. Yield was an important component, disease resistance, and we forgot to look at flavor. Similar to what happened to the fresh market tomato, we lost all that flavor component of the chilies. And so we began a project of going back and looking at those original varieties that had been released here from Fabian's day up through the 1940s, maybe in the 50s, and saying, can we reconstitute that flavor? And at first, I was a little hesitant or a non-believer. I always tell people, everybody tells you a 56 Chevy's the best thing to drive until you drive one of those old cars and you realize they're pretty hard to drive and we've made a lot of progress in cars. And so we said, okay, we'll bring out the chili. We have what's called the New Mexico Chili Commission and to the field, and we'll have them taste these chilies and pick the ones they thought had the best flavor. And we said, let's see if there are more flavor components in these selected varieties, these heirloom heritage varieties, than are in the currently grown ones. And lo and behold, in New Mex Heritage 6.4, we had 5 times more flavor compounds. And then in our New Mex Heritage Big Jim, we had 4 times the flavor components that is in the standard varieties growing now.
So people love the old chilies.
They do. And actually, I tell people, once you taste the new heritage variety, you can't go back to the stuff in the supermarkets or on that because the flavor is so good. You'll say, now I know what green chili should taste like, and that's what I want.
And these seeds, by the way, had been frozen in liquid nitrogen for decades. That's how you had these.
Exactly. We asked the National Seed Storage Lab in Colorado if they wouldn't mind going into their repository and pulling them out of liquid nitrogen, and we said we would grow them and send them back a pure seed sample, a pure seed increase, back to them to put back under liquid nitrogen. And so we went back to the original seeds, and that's how we got it.
So is the future of New Mexico green chili looking bright, or do you think you're now going to be facing a lot of competition from people trying to grow chili peppers elsewhere?
Oh, we have been facing competition around the world. It's one of the things we face in New Mexico. China is the largest producer of chili peppers. And, you know, with the shipping containers that we have today, you can send a produce product anywhere around the world quite rapidly. So what we're encouraging our growers is to look at these heritage varieties, these New Mexico State University cultivars, and market those here in the state and to our visitors from out of state during season.
You know, one of the questions I've always had about the New Mexico green chili, because I, when driving across the country from Los Angeles to New York, picked up a chili plant and tried to make it work here in the Northeast, and it just doesn't quite love the weather over here or something. There's something about the climate here that it doesn't like. Why is that? Why does it grow so well in New Mexico?
Because of us breeders, I guess you could say, selecting over decades, so they adapted here. The interesting thing is the original chili pepper, the wild chili peppers evolved from, was a tropical rainforest where it's about 68, 72 degrees with a gentle rain every 3 days. That's when they're the happiest, the chili plants. But we brought them into New Mexico, adapted them to our warm climate, our high heat. We actually have kind of a salty soil, a little bit of saline water, our water has lots of minerals. So we've adapted them to grow in this climate. And so they're really not the best varieties to grow in some of the other regions of the country.
Do you ever get sick of them?
Never.
Really?
Nah. I tell people, once you start eating chilies, you'll eat them every day.
See, I agree with you about that, but a lot of people do not agree with us. What is your favorite thing to put these green chilies on?
Well, I mean, we could start with breakfast and we could put them on eggs.
Definitely, yes.
And then at lunch, we could make ourselves a green chili cheeseburger.
Yep.
And then at dinner, let's have some green enchiladas.
Or green chili pizza. That's also good.
Perfect. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Paul Boslin, director of the Chili Pepper Institute at New Mexico State University. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
And Jeremy, this is reminding me of your sister, the chef's green chili mac and cheese.
A Thanksgiving staple, which
yes.
I hope to enjoy next week.
Yes, and that is reminding me that today is the last day to submit your family's Thanksgiving recipes for our resident chef, Kathy Gunst, who has promised to lighten them up.
Meaning that she's going to make them a little healthier.
Right.
We've got quite a few potato recipes, which is great, but potatoes, of course, are not the only dish that might need a little tweak. Kathy is also willing to take on stuffing or green bean casserole or desserts. So send
things with marshmallows on them.
I don't think that can be fixed, really.
I know.
But you can go to our website, hereandnow.org. On the right-hand side of the page, there's something that says, send us your recipes, submit here, click on it, send them in. Kathy will take a look. And we'll be here waiting. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.